Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this lady, just lady, the last time I will participate in such an activity in the House of Assembly. Just lady. Mr. Speaker, I'm living on a good note. You know why? Because prosperity has returned to St. Lucia. What we have to do now, sir, is to let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. We have cleared the upturn. Now we are on the upswing in economic activities in this country. Economic growth of 5.4%. Many persons will tell you, what does that mean? What does economic growth of 5.4% mean, and how do I benefit from it? Mr. Speaker, we must understand that output in the country, all the goods and services we produce more goods in 2005 than 2004 by 5.4%. That's the growth we are registering. And the growth, you have learned, comes from several sectors of the economy. I want to know two sectors which contracted. And we have heard so much about bananas and agriculture and what's happening in the banana area. This sector contracted. But it still means that the contribution of agriculture to GDP is 3.36%. And government services, producer of government services, contracted by 0.1%. However, the government's share in output is still 11.14%, which were the main areas of growth. You've learned, sir, that construction grew by 10.45% and contributed 7.97% of GDP. The hotel and restaurant, the tourism sector, the hospitality industry grew by 6.33% and contributed, its share in the total output was 13.35%. Communications grew. I heard the member for Mikulov lamenting that the banking sector grew and then not many persons benefited from this. But Mr. Speaker, I want to ask, who benefits from the output of the country? When the country grows, when we produce things, we do things, who benefits? The answer is straightforward, Mr. Speaker. And this is the basis of economics. What we produce is called a surplus. When you make provision for depreciation, and what is left, that surplus. We have interest groups that vie for it. One main interest group would be labor. Labor claims its share of the output. This is done through wages and salaries. And this government, being conservative, will, in this parliament, implement a labor code and will be looking at minimum wages. So labor gets a share. A share of the output goes to labor. So those persons who work in electricity, who work in banking, who work in agriculture, who work in wholesale and retail trades, in the hotel, they get a share. So when the person is asked, who benefits? A direct benefit is your labor, your wage, your salary, what you earn. This is your share of the output. And there is always this ambivalence, Mr. Speaker, between labor and the entrepreneur. Because the entrepreneur's share in output is a residue, which we call, some people call it profit, some people call it the surplus, because capital gets its share of the output. Capital gets its share either through interest payments or through dividends. The capital will get, those persons providing the capital will get the share. Those persons in the natural resources, what we call rents in the past, they get the rents, they get the economic rents from or for providing these important factors in the production process. Now we have a group which plays a very, very important role. The government. The government gets its share through taxes and through transfers. And the government's job in this process is to help, one, keep the machinery of the country going by providing the security and the education and the health, and in a small way, make transfer payments to those very poor persons in the community. So, I think the question is unfair, or I won't say malicious, but it is foolhardy for someone to ask who benefits from the growth and the output of the country. It is clear, it is straightforward, those who benefit are the owners of the factors of production, and the government to a certain extent, which helps with the redistribution of income. But Mr. Speaker, we're a nice country enough. Because the good times are rolling, the arguments have changed. The arguments a couple of years ago were the arguments have changed now that prices are increasing. If you just say that the prices are increasing, and then what is the government doing about increasing the prices? And the new tune now is that prices are increasing. It is a fact, an economic fact, Mr. Speaker, that if you have inflation in your economy and prices are increasing, your purchasing power will be reduced, and then it will affect your standard of living. But what's the evidence? What's the evidence? And what can we do about the increases in prices? In most countries, the popular statistic that is used for measuring increases in prices is the CPI, which we call inflation. The Consumer Price Index. And we were told by every person in the staff department that CPI came in at 3.91%. 3.91. It is inflationary, but surely this does not support the arguments that are so strongly being made that prices are just going up. Question number two. What can we do about prices? What can we do about prices will immediately cause us to think of whether we have any faith in the price system. Do we want an army of price controllers to be going around to be monitoring prices? Is that what we want? Well, many persons will start telling about Big Brother and everything in the same people for economic activity, and that's what's best for the country. Mr. Speaker, you will appreciate that we are a very open economy. What does that mean? It means, Mr. Speaker, that we import almost everything we use in this country. The glass, the mic we use there, the clothing, the petrol, the foods, the electricity, the bulk. I thought a course, Kamut, Mr. Speaker, and that's one of the easiest courses to introduce. Because Kamut deals with the movement of goods, the making it available where you need it. And you would ask the class, just look around at the things that we have and tell me whether we manufacture it, whether we manufacture them in conclusion. And the answer is a resounding no. We don't manufacture most of the things we consume. And if you import a regular increase in the international market, are you telling me that it should not be used in the computation of the final price to the consumer? What can anyone, government or not government, can do about these increases in prices, Mr. Speaker? I want to hear an alternative. I would like to hear an alternative to the cry by some members of the opposition that prices are just increasing. What can we do? What can we do? Tell me.
We do monopoly.
I don't have monopoly and monopoly power in a while because I have it down. I'll stick to monopoly and monopoly power. Mr. Speaker, I think that the Prime Minister in his address did all he could. He meticulously showed what government is making as consumption tax on the various items, and he removed it. Now, needless to say, I was very happy yesterday when the member for Miku South was talking about percentages. Which percentages you have to have a debt? 5% of something, 10% of something. And the small percentages that are placed as consumption tax on the critical commodities will not have such an impact. Well, I hope I'm wrong, because I have to go to the supermarket, I have to eat, and I have to pay attention to the increases in prices. It will have a very small impact on prices, Mr. Speaker, and I think that the government has done all that is humanly possible to keep prices under control, and prices are not flying all over the place as we would be made to believe. However, sir, I frown on monopoly power in any form. I frown on monopoly power in any form. And the monopoly power that's developing in the supermarkets ought to have us to have a close look at what is happening. Because broadly speaking, Mr. Speaker, monopolies don't favor consumers. What I think we can do as a government is to use some moral suasion to suggest, to recommend, to call that prices and the market are not very high so that we can have reasonable prices in our system. I mean, a big law in the United States is the antitrust law. When you are developing as a monopoly, the government will force you to break up the company. I mean, as one of the telephone companies were almost monopolies in the United States. Bill Gates and Microsoft, they were caught almost everywhere all over the world, in Europe, in the United States, because many persons believe they have monopoly power. We have seen what oligopolies will do, like OPEC, where a group of persons collude to influence and determine the price. We pay for it. The price of oil, some sheikh in money or some sheikh in Oman or Saudi Arabia wakes up and says he wants oil at X price. We have no control over it. And I don't think these activities favor consumers. But Mr. Speaker, the surplus that I've been talking about, the output, how can we get it bigger? This should be the concern of all of us in the parliament and all those persons who are investing in the country. And the word is productivity. Productivity, productivity, productivity. The Prime Minister spoke of social productivity in his address. The Governor General in the front speech spoke of productivity. Now, we can have productivity of the various factors. The productivity of labor, the marginal cost of labor. We can look at the interest rate, which can still be argued as the productivity of capital and in the banking system. Productivity. But most times, when we speak of productivity, Mr. Speaker, we speak of labor productivity. That is output per worker. Output per worker. And when we are increasing productivity, we are creating more goods with the same capital and the same labor force. You are getting better. You are moving up the learning curve. So your productivity is increasing. Crudely stated, productivity to increase, we must produce more of the commodity with the same inputs. It is argued, sir, that to optimize the use of the factors of production, we must have the ability to efficiently use these factors. So I ask, how do we improve our productivity? Mr. Speaker, answer number one, be diligent. Mr. Speaker, work. Mr. Speaker, we have a problem in this country where people go to work and they don't work. Do the minimum. Do the minimum when you go to work. Work, produce, do things, do things. It permeates the system, in the service, in the private sector, in the farms, in the schools, everywhere. I said schools. I'm going to repeat what the teachers do. Because when they're walking in that school, Mr. Speaker, and then you have the 35 pair of eyes looking at them, they have no choice but to work. Work. Do our work, life at work. Let's be disciplined, let's work hard. You're not working for the employer, you're working for yourself. You're working for yourself, Mr. Speaker. If what you produce is less than the wage that you earn, you're being subsidized and you are a parasite on the outfit. If you produce less than what you are paid, you are parasite of the system. I love that, Mr. Speaker. There's a big word they like to think in economics. Marginal productivity of labor. That is what you can produce as one other person. You know, in some cases, it is negative, you know why? When the workers get on the site, they use your material, they use your pen, use your paper, do their own work, they don't do anything for you, they don't even answer the telephone because there are some places the telephone will either be busy or they'll ring off the hook. You don't get an answer. Be diligent, work hard, let's do some work, let's do something when you go to the people's job. Ask yourself at the end of the week, what have I done this week? What did I produce? What did I cause to happen? The world needs to speak is discipline. Let us be disciplined workers in this country. The other contributing factors to productivity would be the quantity and quality of labor. And I believe that this government is making a concerted effort to improve on the quality of labor. I had an argument of the member from Little South last night about secondary schools. And in a certain way suggesting after whether or not you're ruining the hopes of children by causing all to go to secondary schools and they may not be able to fulfill the expectation. That's when I heard it, I said, we are always better with a better learned workforce. There are direct benefits, Mr. Speaker. What can happen, or what we hope will happen, is as we equip these persons and they are better read, and better informed, and better educated, they can take the initiative and start on their own and cause them to create employment. Mr. Speaker, so employment is created not by the big banks, not by the big companies. They hire maybe one or two persons. They replace someone who retires. But by the small and medium-sized companies, the guy that can start and employ five persons and employ six persons. A lot of them fail. The theory and history shows that many of the small businesses fail, but they are the ones that create the employment in the country. And I'm indeed happy at the various programs in this budget to help these small business persons. Like funding for Bell Fund, increased NRDF, programs which will make funds and capital available for small families. For small businesses. Mr. Speaker, we have to improve the quality and quantity of our capital. We have to invest. Now there is the paradox of thrift. It is argued in the literature that if you save, money will be available for investment. But you also have to spend to keep the wholesale and the retail trade going. So somewhere there is a balance which we have to strike. So I am saying we should have incentives to improve savings, we should have incentives to improve investment. And I think this government provides the incentives. While there was wrong, we provided incentives for investment and encouraged investors to come and participate in our economic activity. What can help our productivity, Mr. Speaker? The size of the market and the scale of your operation. Mr. Speaker, CSME comes to mind. I am certain many Centrosians can identify with having a lot with tomatoes, and if you get a good crop, you cannot sell it. You cannot sell the tomatoes. For several reasons. One, it is almost a seasonal product where we all grow tomatoes at the same time. And secondly, we are not sufficiently equipped to let others know when our product will be ready, so that the person who consumes tomatoes will plan and will factor your output into his operation. CSME, hopefully, with the increase in the market size of the CARICOM members, we will have a larger market, we will be able to sell more products, and it will cause us to become more efficient, and it will increase our productivity. So quickly, sir, what are the provisions in this budget for to help us achieve an increase in productivity? The minimum wage, for example, I hope it will cause us to produce. Support for various workers, artisans will get support, entertainers will get support. Microfinancing and support for small business. However, sir, while I talk about microfinancing and support for small business, I have to note that I am lamenting the merger of the Development Bank and the Commercial Bank. These two institutions are different mandates. Mr. Speaker, sir, we have Cricket World Cup. We have Cricket World Cup. In economics, they call it a big push. We have an activity that will stimulate other things and provide facilities and infrastructure that will be needed. That is the argument those naysayers are saying, what will happen after World Cup? And all it is doing, it is speeding up the development in these areas. You tell me, after World Cup, the Rio Bello Rosa will disappear? After World Cup, those of us who need an extra room in our home, these rooms will be closed? Are you telling me that if we are training our policemen, training our persons to be friendly and to show appreciation, that's a waste? When you look, sir, at the history of the cities which have held sporting activities, they tell you from 10 cities take off. Greece, Atlanta, Sydney, they just take off. So I believe that what Cricket World Cup has done is to cause us to provide the facilities and infrastructure that are needed at a faster rate. At a faster rate. So Cricket World Cup is providing some assistance along those lines. Another activity is the arcade, the modernizing of the waterfront. Although we started this for a long time, we normally take care of our waterfront. And I have to thank all those who were involved in this activity. Some people tell you they leave Castries, they drive at 2 o'clock in the morning, they sit at the waterfront for 1 hour and then they go back to Castries. Some people do it. I will not call names. Provision for low-income housing, Mr. Speaker. It's in the budget. Activities to encourage and promote productivity. Improvement in water supply. Water supply improvements. And then I will be speaking, like the member for Schozel, on the improvement of the water supply at Fosseja. Because, Mr. Speaker, the tank, the catchment, is at later. I know the irony. The people around the tank don't have water. They don't get any water. But this will be corrected because I know the government will make every effort to provide water, a basic amenity to all institutions. An activity which will get off the ground very shortly again, which I'll have a lot of explaining to do, is the construction of the Home of the Elderly. I will be taking this when I look at Sufre at that point, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have some concerns. I have concerns, Mr. Speaker. One concern we all have is the price of water. That's a concern which we all have, and we have no control whatsoever over the price of oil. But I have a deeper concern with oil, because last week I heard the Venezuelan government's position that if they are attacked by the US, they will blow up the oil fields and the oil wells in Venezuela. Mr. Speaker, these statements have a multiplying effect. One, it will cause a risk premium on interest rates in these areas. Because guys will say, look, if this guy is in Venezuela and then bombs are flying and then we really have the control over this, there will be the country premium risk. I believe it will be effective. The supply of oil itself will be affected. Shouldn't we accept the offer of the Venezuelan government to cause us to get oil by borrowing to us? Because being part of OPEC, it is very difficult for the Venezuelan government to sell oil less than the world market price. So my understanding is that we will be getting the oil as an advancement, and then we will be paying back at some other time. The technocrats and the guys are smart enough to find some way of going around this. Mr. Speaker, I find expenditure on social infrastructure a bit low, to say it kindly. Because I believe, and as a group, as a government, we always try to have balanced development. I heard the word skewed used yesterday. Surely, our approach has not been skewed as those persons in the past who believe in only infrastructural projects to the neglect of social infrastructure. Mr. Speaker, sir, while our debt numbers are looking good, oh sure, I mean, look at the competitive figures. This debt problem is a figure. If countries could not borrow, the United States would collapse. The United States would collapse. So what am I saying? We are prudent, but I am saying it is still too high. But now that we are on the upswing, this is exactly what I'm saying. Government's approach will have to be to bring down the national debt. Mr. Speaker, sir, my other concern is, again I'll be saying to it, is the rate of implementation of government's projects. Mr. Speaker, the service has its own momentum. You can do what you want things to be done faster. I call every week to get my playing field going, Mr. Minister. Every week I call, and to date, we have not seen the sword. No sword ceremony. What I would like to recommend and suggest, it is not to play my own mind as to whether we should have a commissioner for each ministry. Some might tell you there is a permanent secretary. But the permanent secretary is so involved with administering his or her ministry and spending so much time on the telephone. The telephone is a nuisance, you know. The telephone rings all the time, someone wants to speak to you. We need someone to ask the ministries why. Why haven't you implemented the project? The answer is that it will be. They didn't get the allocation from the Ministry of Finance. The answer is that it will be that the project was completed by the Ministry of Fiscal Development. The answer is that it will be that they have not had the consultation. But I believe if we have a commissioner, be one for two ministries, one for each ministry, one for the bigger ministries, to ask the question, why did we did not put more effort in receiving the West Coast Rail? Why, Ministry of what? Why? Ministry of Youth and Sport, why didn't you start the sporting facility in Sufre? Ministry of Planning, why haven't you completed the plans and the drawings and the working documents for us to implement this project? You see, Mr. Speaker, year after year you had the projects coming, they were still around, year after year. And what hurts me the most about the super place, which I'll speak to again, is that funding from homes, local funding, We're not voting for EU or SFA or any other external source. It is there by the face. It is just that the work was not done. The work was not done. And that is what I'm lamenting. That's what I'm crying out for. That's why I'm asking help. Let us get someone who can tell the chief engineer, who can tell the chief agricultural officer, who can tell the head of DCA why haven't we done this? Why? And let us find the reason and ask what the hold up. If it is the funding, then we take it at the political level and go to the Minister of Finance. If it is the drawing, we take it at the political level and go to the Minister of Physical Planning. If it is the Youth and Sports officers that are not coming to so very often, you take it to the Minister of Youth and Sports. But Mr. Speaker, something must be done. Mr. Speaker, I enjoyed the throne speech on being a conclusion. But I was caught and torn apart. Because I am in Africa, when the good old days better than the days now, were the good old days better? When as a little boy I had to go to the country and carry the load on my head? Were those days better than now, like I'm jumping in my car? If I don't have a guy to swim by the road and wait for a van, you're telling me these days were better? The days when people had to empty the pails and the pit latrines, now you have a flush toilet. Are these days better? Let's ask the question. Let's look at it. But we were disciplined. Almost anybody in superintendent wants to behave yourself as a matter of the two. And I have no choice but to leave and get to my ministry. What I think we should do is to extract and use what's good, what worked in the past, and show let us continue living. I believe, you know, our standard of living has improved. And improved tremendously. Remember, Mr. Speaker, when we had a lot of people last year, and we had all kinds of things in this country. This has disappeared. These are in the old days, are they good? I don't know. The jury is out. Some people tell you these were the good old days. I have my opinion. But Mr. Speaker, what is important in this country is to be open-minded and be fair-minded, Mr. Speaker. Persons come to conclusions, they don't do the research, they don't double-check, and they speak before authority, Mr. Speaker. We have to be surrendered. We have to accept the riches. We have to riches. Most times the guy comes misguided, they don't know what they're talking about, and they beat their chest, especially when they're low enough. When they are low like a cheese. they make pronouncements. And they say things that may not be correct. They just say this. Mr. Speaker, we have to be fair-minded. We have to be fair-minded. Even if someone cries, but you have to ask if the person really cries. You have to be fair-minded. Mr. Speaker, I will save your indulgence and ask for some protection. Mr. Speaker, we have to have faith in reason. That's one of the landmarks or the hallmarks I admire in the court system in St. Lucia. I think we get some very good decisions. It takes time. The process is long, it's drawn out, but based on the evidence that the church or the magistrate will have, I think that the reasoning is sound. It's logical, and that's one of the pillars of a democratic society. When you have a legal system, you can trust. Long, some of the lawyers take a long time, Mr. Speaker. But when you get a decision, I think, in my humble way, I would say that the decisions are fair. Mr. Speaker, we do not appreciate humility in the country, Mr. Speaker. We don't have intellectual courage and intellectual perseverance. that you continue striving. And I believe there is a whole school now, they call themselves the critical thinking community. They look at critical thinking, they look at reasoning, they look at clarity, at precision, at accuracy, at relevance, at depth, at logic, to help us take the best decisions. And I would strongly recommend, Mr. Speaker, that you go that route. Mr. Speaker, sir, we have to be asking questions in this country. But we also have to be optimists. There are persons, all they see is doom and gloom. Because I'm a view, a point of view, a national point of view, your own point of view, a world point of view, but I'm insight. Is that really true? We don't ask these questions. We just repeat what we hear. Mr. Speaker, I believe an open mind will do us very well in the country. So we have to start to appreciate human reason, and we must believe in our instinct. Mr. Speaker, sir. On page 28 of the Minister of Finance's address, he spoke of the construction of the home for the elderly. Mr. Speaker, we have some mixed feelings in Sufri about this project. I will state categorically that I support the project, and I think we will be optimizing the use of the land, and we will be providing better facilities for our old people. I support the project. But then there's nostalgia, the power, L'Hôpital power, and the multitudes. And are we taking the best decision when we cause the hotel to be built in that area? We all know the value, in posterity, the value of our lands. Sometimes I listen to the commentaries on DBS, because there is a glass lid. Most times I don't agree with what she says. But she has a commentary on land and the requirement to provide investment so we can start using the land. And I agree with her. Someone will tell you, oh boy, you better fit on this piece of land. It will be worth $2 million next year. But for it to acquire that value, you have to spend $50 million. Do you have the $50 million to spend to cause you to get that value for your land? The very example is Rodden Bay. Persons felt at the time that we ought not to have had Rodden Bay. But it required a huge initial outlay. And I think many of us may not have this source of funding to proceed with the project. That is the home for the elderly. We need an improved home. We need them. Mr. Speaker, there is a chronic stench in that place. Whenever I go there, I wonder when and how we can get it out. The building is so old that when you paint it after a few months, the paint will just drop. So we need another place. We need to treat our old people differently and better. And even we, Mr. Speaker, are getting old, eh? So maybe we are preparing a home for ourselves. According to the Jamaican serious thing, that, you know, Mr. Speaker. I'm speaking for myself. I myself, Mr. Speaker. No, but we ought to treat our older folks better. I don't know, I won't say what I've been hearing about, you know. And senility, I'm not saying that, Mr. Speaker. But the question we'll be asking Sufri, I know we'll go to the Sufri Town Hall to discuss it. I know many questions will be asked. And I will plead, and I'm saying from now that I support the project. Mr. Speaker, on page 35 of the budget address. The Prime Minister spoke about the playing field in Sofia. I attended the sports award ceremony at Sofia, and the sportsmen and women were suggesting that they might have to show their displeasure in not having seen the commencement of the construction of the grandstand. I have pleaded with them, and the point which I made and I felt so good about was only the government of the Central Labour Party will put such a facility in Sofia. Government of the other is not the one who came along and tell you this, that, or the other. It is only the government of the Central Labour Party that will cause this grandstand to be built in St. Louis of Fair. And this year, what I pleasantly noted was an increase in the amount to be used for the grandstand, where the whole building is provided for. Funding is provided for the whole building. So, young persons, we will start the playing field project. I believe, I'm convinced in my own mind that it will be done. It is just that we have a few little problems with some persons. I'm even having difficulty to put my finger on what the problem is. I'm having difficulty in putting my finger on what the problem is. Mr. Speaker, sir, all secondary roads in Sufre have collapsed. Last November, Mr. Speaker, I had to stop the people of Guadin when they told me to block the road. I said, no, you cannot do this. We are breaking the law. We are law-abiding people. We comply with the law of Sufre. That's why we have a crime-free society. All the things that are happening, we are law-abiding Sufre. We are law-abiding. I tell the Guadin people, no, no, no. Let us wait. But since December, Mr. Speaker, vehicles, the road is not moveable. The Guadin Ring Road, which goes down to West Perra, it is not moveable. Mr. Speaker, the Diamond Road has collapsed. Diamond Esperance Road. Not even Duncan can go visit this road, Mr. Speaker. I want to know how we will visit this road soon. The Chateaubriand Road, Mr. Speaker, has collapsed. We are extremely thankful that work has commenced at Fauvenier. All the roads, all the drains, all the sidewalks in Fauvenier will be repaired. And I can convey the election of those persons living in this area at the commencement of the work. Mr. Speaker, several sections of the Bhutto Road, several sections have collapsed. Now, I speak, I call, and I do all kinds of things, Mr. Speaker. But I want to show you, I want to stick to one issue. In last year's estimate, $4 million were provided for road rehab, $980,000 provided for bridges and culverts, where RDP and Tertiary Road, that's more of a fixed expenditure, $250,000 are provided for sidewalks, community infrastructure development, $300,000. In the recurrent section, where we have the Fort Holding Unit, a provision of $6.9 million is made there. I'm prepared to move $2.7 million there for wages of the workers there. So we have $4.2 million. And Mr. Speaker, I received the constituency report, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
I'll continue. I may not need more, but if I do, I will ask Honourable Member. Mr. Speaker, in the first quarter on the road, rehab and maintenance, $30,000, and that was a lot. In the second quarter, $64,000, while the general road was repaired. And in the first quarter, we got $28,000. We received some money for the desilting of rivers in quarter one, because we have rivers, other rivers don't have rivers. With rivers in Sutra, we got some money for desilting. We received some money for potholing. The towers, we got some potholing done in the first quarter. And we got $9,000 from community infrastructure. Mr. Speaker, quarter after quarter after quarter, we are awaiting for some work to be done, and it's not forthcoming. I would like to suggest to the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Works that since no work has been done on sidewalks and drains in Soufré, and a rough estimate would tell me that the royalties paid to the government for the use of Sulphur Springs is a lot less than what would be required to maintain the drains and sidewalks in the town, I would suggest, sir, that in his wisdom, the Minister of Finance would allow the Soufré Regional Foundation to be responsible for the maintenance of sidewalks and drains in lieu of the funds to be transferred for as royalties to the central government. It's a proposal, I'm putting it on the table. I'm asking for your kind consideration, sir, that we proceed that way. Mr. Speaker, there is this water project to be funded by the government of St. Lucia and the government of Spain. The project will provide and improve the water system at Lower Posejac in Soufré. But the area that will be receiving the water, these areas are Montjac, not in Soufré, Digar, not in Soufré, Fopopo, Dakite, Ravino, Montbouge, Maté, L'Espérance, Fossiou, La Marse. I think it's a very good project, Mr. Speaker. It will provide a pump which will cause persons to get a better flow of the as the member for sure said, because these persons get water on average for 3 days per week, some get 2 days, some get 1 to 2 days per week, and the water with them at 4 hours where they have to wake up early in the middle of the night to collect some water. So I think now that we will get a 6-inch pumping main, which will cost $705,000. There will be an installation, a chlorinator for $25,000, and the pumping station at Pontjac will be upgraded. So this project will be jointly funded by the government of St. Lucia and the government of Spain. So we will be looking forward to this project. So at the moment, Mr. Speaker, the only main area in Soufré without water is a place called Colombette. Colombette, that is where you pass La Hope before you get to Kachime, on the way to Castries. We have had some estimates done, and I'm looking forward to the day when we will be getting some funding for these improvements. I think we are pretty well served with telephones and the internet in Soufré. And as I said, and everyone chuckled, but it's the truth, and I'm knocking on wood and asking the Soufré people to keep it up, that we keep our town a crime-free place. Mr. Speaker, I really thought by now the relocation of the persons at Downs Drive would have been more advanced. I know the government of St. Lucia procure land at Crestlands, half of these lands are serviced, and I know the second half will soon be serviced. But I think we ought to expedite this relocation process, and it ought to be a project of the government of St. Lucia like any other relocation. I would strongly urge that we look at it from that point of view.
The honourable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
Mr. Speaker, I beg to invoke Standing Order 3210 to permit the Honourable Member for Soufré an additional 10 minutes within which to complete his contribution to this Honourable House.
honourable members. The question is that the honourable, that standing order 32.10 be invoked to allow the honourable member for Soufre an additional 10 minutes to make his contribution. I now put the question, as many are of that opinion say aye. As many are of a contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Thank you very much.
Honourable member, leave his grant.
Thank you very much. I'm concluding now, Mr. Speaker. This contribution to the budget debate is likely to be the last one for the present. I have already indicated my intentions not to offer myself as a candidate for the upcoming general election. This contribution, or even my stint in Parliament, would accordingly be incomplete if I fail my constituents in neglecting to emphasize the considerable physical and human resource potential that exists in the community of Soufre. This potential is just there waiting to be released. And we have to harness it and work hard because of the neglect of 7 years of the United Workers Party and John Compton in particular. Mr. Speaker, we have to coordinate and focus on the economic and social development and have a thrust which will call the president of Soufre to be happy. I believe if this potential is properly harnessed, we can serve as a restructuring model capable of yielding development benefits which can overflow not only in Soufre, but well beyond Soufre, and be a model for St. Lucia. You see, so we have the knack of influencing things in St. Lucia. We normally take the lead in doing things. So I am urging, I'm begging, I'm asking that we help harness and develop the potential of the people of Soufre so that we can develop. Mr. Speaker, I'm not going into the world of Soufre legacy. Let the historians do that. But Mr. Speaker, I have one good feeling about Soufre. One. Because I believe, sir, in a small way, I achieved the removal of the image of Soufre as an area housing depressing persons and indigent. That impression. Is that what you're saying, Soufre? Soufre, silence. But Mr. Speaker, people, they look forward to coming to Soufre. No longer will we have the Baron, L'Hôpital Baron. And now they took the place where everybody dump old people, you know? And it's almost... No! It's becoming to be recognized! That is the type of impression in Soufre. In Soufre, they will tell you, look at my father without my own. That is the impression. But this impression, we are wiping this out, Mr. Speaker. We are wiping this impression, and we will show that Soufre is a place that can stand on its own, and that can take care of itself and take the lead. Mr. Speaker, sir, there has been a tendency in budgets to establish and address development concerns. The approach of project disbursements, I believe, should be looked at a holistic way. For example, we are likely to have an extension to the Soufre Hospital, and it is earmarked to be used the area next to the place, next to the bridge. But the plan for the development of the playing field in Soufre would provide for multi-purpose sports. And at the moment, the basketball court is on the left side of the Soufre Hospital. If we do it in a holistic way, we develop the court. Now, I'm not asking for more, Mr. Minister of Finance, but I'm just saying, you know, if we develop the courts, and if we place this extension in the area where the court is, we would have some land available on near the waterfront for future development. This is what I'm talking about when I say we should do it in a holistic way, looking at the impact and the social consequences, whereby investment will be targeted in the constituency in an integrated role, in an integrated way, so we can optimize what we have. Mr. Speaker, I have been part of a government which focused on providing for balanced development, in which appropriate weight is given to all components of development. I have not seen any change with those persons who want to come back, who would concentrate only on infrastructural projects and not a holistic approach to the development of the country. I want to see the plans. What has changed? What has changed? I have not seen anything significant. Like I have heard, anything significant with those persons who have been recycled, going to taxis north and want to go to Nipu north to chase persons who are there, you know? Excuse me. Mr. Speaker, I have not seen the change. And I know it will backfire when the time comes. Mr. Speaker, the budget is planned to address some of the critical problems we have in the country. And I believe, as I have outlined, and I will not bore the House in going through the litany of so many activities and initiatives that will be implemented to meet the needs to form a different country, a country I believe which will be better, a country which I believe will be successful for our development. Mr. Speaker, sir, it has been a privilege and an honor to serve within this parliament. I know how to thank those persons who make this possible. I look forward to continuing to do so as I embark on other fields of endeavor. But Mr. Speaker, who knows? Who knows, Mr. Speaker? My footsteps may well lead me back to serve in the future of this parliament. So I'm saying thank you to all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.